Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts for the sermon this morning are from the Old Testament reading and the Gospel, Jeremiah 23 and Luke 12. I read for you again these words. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? And from Luke 12, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. What is a pastor to do? The readings for today do not have much, if any, good news or inspiration or motivation. There doesn't seem to be anything to make us feel good about ourselves or others. There doesn't seem to be much, if any, gospel. There's little mention of Jesus. So, what's a pastor to do? He listens to God's word and preaches it. After all, God says, let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. So a faithful pastor will proclaim God's word and not his own dreams or visions or ideas. He is to say what God says, and sometimes, oftentimes, people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that they are sinners, that they deserve God's wrath and punishment in this life and forever. They don't want to hear that they should repent. They should stop doing those things that harm others and do not glorify God. They don't want to hear that they should love their neighbor and do everything they can to help him in his marriage, his physical well-being, his possessions, his reputation. They especially don't want to hear that they are not God and that they should listen to the one who is and do what he says, no matter what. Yet, faithful preachers will preach God's word, all of it. They won't preach only that which makes them and their hearers feel good. They won't let their hearers remain in their sin, thinking that they're pretty good. They won't simply encourage people to live certain kinds of lives, doing certain kinds of things in order to be blessed by God. They won't preach promises of that which God has not made, such as to bless them with health, wealth, and prosperity. No, they will preach the fire and hammer of God's law, which smashes and destroys the self with its delusions and self-centeredness. They will preach the accusing and condemning word that makes us uncomfortable, that makes us squirm, that makes us want to run and hide. They will preach that word which leaves us nowhere to hide, that kills us, so that God can raise us. They will preach, as Jesus did, that God's word will bring division and suffering. Now, certainly this makes us uncomfortable as it challenges our family first ideas. Jesus says, do you think I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And the cause of these divisions is the Word of God. God's Word, both law and gospel, will always strain the bonds of family loyalty and harmony, because families are made up of sinners. And God's Word of law will always accuse sinners and condemn the sin. And others in the family will have to choose whether to let that word get through or whether instead to protect and insulate, defend and excuse fellow family members from the penetrating light of God's law. Do I confront my family member about this sin or not? Do I bring in others to talk with him or her also? Or do I keep it a secret? If we don't wrestle with these questions, it may be because we don't recognize the sin for what it is. Or we may be simply too afraid to bring it up. And there's no family that's exempt from such stresses. Even the most pious Christian family will face situations that cause division because of the Word of God. You may have experienced this in your own family. Then again, God's gospel can also divide families because salvation is always individual. The Holy Spirit will always work one-on-one to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify the people of God in His holy church. And as one or two in the family come to faith in Jesus, and as their only basis for a clear conscience with God, and their only hope for a happy life beyond the grave, as one who comes to know this joy in the gospel, but others in the family never really believe it, this too will cause division. For there's no higher priority for the new man in Christ than to be in a living, vibrant relationship with the Lord, receiving His gifts, listening to Him, feasting with Him at His table, sharing all gifts with Him, and serving Him by serving those He loves. But for those in the family who don't know that joy of salvation, the cares of this world will be the priority. Who would have guessed that Jesus and His Word would bring such division to families? If you had to summarize the message of Christ, who would ever think to put these words in His mouth? Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. How does that fit with the Christian message of joy to the world and peace on earth? But the psalmist certainly seems to know such strife. As we heard in the introit, for it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. You see, it's unpopular and uncomfortable to teach that suffering and division and pain are a part of the Christian life. For they were indeed a part of Jesus' life. Today's gospel began with Jesus saying, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Jesus is talking about His death and suffering on the cross. It was excruciatingly painful for Him. And it caused division between Jesus and His disciple Judas, between Jesus and His disciple Peter, between Nicodemus and his family and friends, between the repentant thief who was crucified with Jesus and his compatriots. The message of Jesus Christ causes division. Along with the joy, it sometimes brings pain. Along with the peace, it sometimes demands suffering. That was true for Jesus, and it's no less true for us, His disciples. For Jesus had said that a disciple is not above his master. And yet, God is working out His plan of salvation, even when things hurt, even when it causes division. For God worked His greatest good through the cross of Jesus. And anyone who tells you differently and holds up only the glory and never the cross, never the division, is a false preacher. Just like the false prophets of Jeremiah's day. Yes, beloved, we do share in the blessed cross of Jesus Christ through holy baptism. In your baptism, you were united with Christ and His death on the cross. Paul says in Romans, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? In this life, you do suffer, as did Jesus." Paul said to the Colossians, "Now I rejoice in what I was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." And Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation." Just as our Savior underwent the fiery baptism of suffering and death, so also shall we. And we will see division. There will not always be peace. But Jesus also said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, following in the way of Jesus Christ is not only to follow Him in suffering and death, it is also to follow Him in His way to everlasting life. That passage from Romans goes on to say, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too will live a new life." The good news this morning is not that divided families and even greater stresses won't be there for a Christian. Rather, the good news is that united to Jesus by faith, you will pass through the crosses in this life. And you have the sure and certain hope of sharing with your Lord in the resurrection of all flesh. His death and resurrection made that possible for you. And if you ever need some real flesh and blood people to encourage you in your Christian life, in the midst of suffering, division, and pain, read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. There you will hear of those who remain faithful to God's word, no matter what. Faithful pastors will not avoid the difficult words of God's revelation to us. And we don't despair of family divisions that God's word sometimes brings. Rather, with the psalmist, we call to God and trust that the Lord will ever save us. For He has promised, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. To Him be the glory. Amen.